Mini Baby Bell Light. Perfect for when you want to satisfy your cravings without compromising on taste. High in protein and 47% less fat than Mini Baby Bell Original, Mini Baby Bell Light is the ultimate snack to add to your new routine in 2023. Start your new year the right way with Mini Baby Bell Light.
Hey everybody, we're back. Welcome to our second episode with Vanessa. This is amazing. We had so much to share. Vanessa had so much things that needed to come out and delight and be shared that we wanted to go into another episode. So here is part two. Hey.
Speaking of your disorder, can you give some more details about the disorder in general, kind of like what your habits were and how you got out of that? Let's talk like deep shit here with the disordered eating.
All right, here we go.
As much as you're comfortable with too.
Yeah. So like I said, I did that lifetime cleanse and I didn't do a cleanse after that until I started in yoga and I met a friend who was a little bit older than me. She was ended up teaching sculpt too. She had a bomb ass body, was like 30 around there, just looked fire. I was like, do you even drink alcohol? Like, how do you look like that?
She doesn't drink wine. There's
literally,
no way.
That was my thought. I was like there's no way. She's like, oh yeah, I just do these cleanses, whatever. So I started doing a cleanse with her and it was called Isagenics, which I had never heard of before.
My mom did that as I was growing up.
And it's meal great.
Yep. Really good to see.
Good
that.
Example.
Love
yep.
That.
Mm-hmm. And not her fault either. Mm-hmm. But love and it mom. Works for some people. Again, like I could shit talk something that someone else is doing because that's not what I align with, and it's just understanding what works for everyone else. So yeah. This has worked for her. She's made a full living off of this and she is killing the game. She's inspiring, she's strong, she's empowering. But for me, it was the trigger to the all of the dominoes falling. So I was looking for the quickest fix to go from 130, which I was now obsessively weighing myself, back to 118, which was my low end of my Vikings weight.
Mind
and
you when you were 18,
two
right?
Numbers. Yep. 18, 19, 20 years old, around there. Yeah. So these are the two numbers that are like ingrained in my brain. And I'm eating two meal replacement shakes a day and a 500 calorie meal and these Isa snacks, which are like bars and crackers and crunchies. And none of them are organic. All of them have God knows what chemicals in it.
The ingredients in those?
I don't even want to know.
The chocolate?
Wasn't talked about.
I've seen that all in my
house. Oh, the deep cleanse days?
X's on every word. X's on flour. I'm like, oh, that's in it. Okay, I'm sure that's from a plant.
X's on flour?
Uh-huh, yeah.
The alphabet word.
Yeah.
Literally. So I didn't even know about organic then. Whatever. I didn't know what was healthy. I was like, I am healthy. What really triggered this scarcity mindset was like the deep cleanse days where you would drink just this like red fruit punch type of flavor juice and the dark chocolates with green tea.
Yep.
And people talk all about extreme fast and intermittent fasting and how good it is. Well, I'll tell you, anyone with any sort of tendency to go towards disordered eating or thoughts, which I think is most women, just eat when you want to eat. Mm-hmm. If you want to eat early in the morning, if you want to eat late at night, your body's going to know what to do with it. So stop stressing about the fact that you need to follow a rule or a time that someone randomly created.
Yeah, probably a male.
Good to give, exactly. It's good to give your gut a rest, maybe 8 hours or whatever, if you really want to focus on it. But honestly, I don't even think, you know what I mean? If you're hungry, your body's telling you something.
Yep.
So that really triggered me. I lost all the weight and I remember I had a comparison picture. Maybe I can like send it to you guys and
we can post it for you.
Oh yeah.
I need to fix these.
Yeah.
Sliding down.
No, that's
are
okay,
they too short?
We're in
you
a
can
short.
No, there was like
okay.
On the back of my,
you
on
got hat.
My hat. Okay. But I remember around this time, it was 2 years ago. I think around like November of 2 years ago was when I first started doing this Isagenic stuff. And I posted it and everyone was like, holy shit, you look so good. And it's network marketing too. And I was taking an unconventional route of life. Like I'm doing this yoga thing. This is perfect. I can coach people to health while being a yoga instructor and make six figures. I'm on it. And I don't shit talk network marketing whatsoever. I think it's beautiful for the people who have that work ethic and are go-getters. And I do think some of the products that people have to offer are amazing. Mm-hmm. But for me, it just felt so misaligned and so restrictive. And like, I had so much resistance to it the whole time. So meanwhile, I'm trying to like lose weight and be the body that I think I need to advertise for people to buy from me. I'm like trying to get people on board, trying to convince them that this is going to be great for them and everyone needs to cleanse their gut all the time and everyone needs these products. I got a few people signed on, but then I would always crash and burn. And around the same time too, I forgot to mention, as like this addiction with eating disorder restrictiveness happened, around the time of my heartbreak too, I found cannabis as like a way to numb out. I had done it like I hadn't even tried it until college, I think. Like, having older sisters, I eventually was like, screw it, tried it with them. And when I realized it could numb out my anxiety and my heartbreak to a certain degree, I was like, what is this thing? Wow. And yeah, when I remember I was quite the stoner, even like when I was on Vikings. After that, like, I had my own stuff, whatever. And I know it's still illegal, whatever, but it's a huge part of my story. So I was numbing out. That triggered binging because I no longer could hear my hunger cues. So that was where I really struggled, was like I couldn't handle the depth of emotion I was feeling. So I had to numb out most of my days with weed. And then that fear of like, once I get high, I'm going to lose control and eat the world. Like, it would happen because I was so scared of it. And then it just became like shame and guilt after I would get high and binge by myself. Normally I would like isolate and eat. And then like the next few days I would try and restrict and get back on my game and drink the shakes and lose the belly fat and look the way I used to and just keep this grind up. And like, I thought that comparison picture was everything. I was like, I made it. I lost 18 pounds. Like, you guys, I literally did it. In a month, I lost 18 pounds.
Okay, that's that's not okay.
Like, talk about water weight. It was probably...
I was going to say that you lost that in a short amount of time.
And not eating calories. Yeah. Like, that's how I did it. So I gained it all back. And I remember at the yoga studio, like, my damaging negative thoughts were so deep. Here I am telling people to open their hearts as I'm looking at my side rolls in the mirror every second. And the body dysmorphia was real. Like, not to mention from binging, your belly feels like distended and full and swollen. So you feel bigger. Like, your emotions tell you you're way bigger. Like you said too, no one notices the small changes. I thought everyone was going to notice when I lost 18 pounds at Core Power. I thought people were going to be like, dude, you look good. No one said anything. And I was like, what?
Excuse me, ma'am?
I just starved myself for a month.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And
18 pounds. Do you think, so like even putting on 5 pounds, people are not going to notice.
No.
And imagine
no
you're,
one
like,
noticed.
You binge to this point. You've lost 18 pounds in a month. Imagine what it was doing to your mind.
Oh, God. And you're then I gained it all right back.
Yeah.
Gained it all back within a month. And I said, shit, I'm not good enough because I can't keep up with this program that everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. Like,
when in reality, it has to do with that restriction and your body literally telling you that you're hungry.
Exactly.
It's scientific. It's not your fault. And that's what I think is so important when binge eating does become a role in a woman's life. It's because a lot of the times it has to do with the fact you did restrict during the day. You did, like, I've been there. I've been binging. I've done the restricting. I've done it all too. And it does come down to, like, the fact that you're not treating your body the way you should on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And I am so glad you brought this up because one of the biggest staples in my recovery right now is eating 3 meals a day and making sure I get snacks in because I learned to meal replace. And so like now I use superfood products that are like organic, plastic free, like super just good for the planet in all areas. I thought I was never going to use supplements again, but I found this and now it's something that I use for a baseline that I add in addition to like literally not thinking of cleansing, dieting whatsoever. I just like sometimes drink my shake first thing in the morning before I even eat breakfast.
Yep.
It's not a meal and it cannot be a meal because my brain has to process that I've had 3 meals at least. Otherwise, if I don't or my mind starts to play tricks on me, even if I did snack a little too heavily in my mind or drink a little too much, I'll notice I'll subconsciously like maybe drink coffee the next morning, maybe wait till 2 p.m. to have lunch. Mm-hmm. Like those little things that end up resulting in how did I get here eating this whole bag of whatever? It's literally all the actions that you took all week. And so that's why I'm like walking on eggshells right now. Just like I need to make sure I'm getting food in my body consistently so yeah. I can let my body know that it's safe.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it's so awesome that you're on here being this vulnerable and literally showing us and telling listeners that you're not there yet either.
Yep.
Like this is something that you will have to work at. And I've been in the same spot as you. And I remember when I was kind of recovering from some disordered eating that I would eat constantly, like almost all day to make sure I wouldn't binge at night.
Mm.
It was hard. And then like once you finally have that, like something happen inside your brain, we're like, okay, I trust my body, because for a while it's like you don't even feel those hunger cues.
Nope.
Which is so like some people just do not understand that. Like you don't know when you're full, you don't know when you're hungry.
Yep.
But if you've dealt with restricting binging, you don't know. Can't trust your hunger cues.
Mm-mm.
But once you finally feel and you're in that routine and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. Oh my gosh, I'm full. It's the best fucking feeling in the
yes.
world.
You feel in control.
Yes. And yep. I felt it. There have been periods in my recovery. I'm going through therapy twice a week with a therapist and a dietitian through the Emily program. And I actually asked for help at the like beginning of quarantine when I was guiding a different type of group cleanses, still like clearly falling back into this pattern, which I just decided I don't want to do that anymore. We'll get to that of like where I'm going and what my path is at the end. But I didn't want to like cleanse anymore. So wait, where were we going with this?
I don't know. We were talking about binging hunger cues.
Oh yes. Okay. So, I have felt periods where I feel like, oh my God, I can trust my body. And it's almost like after that big breakdown happens, I like have this realization and I'm like, I want to love my body. And I get into a routine where I am eating 3 meals a day and I can tell that I'm starting to feel hungry or full. But then life happens and triggers come your way and emotions start to happen and you fall back down the hole and you think you're never going to get out again. And that's just where the therapy and the constant chipping away has to happen, because whether you're trying to heal from substance abuse like I'm still healing from, numbing out, wanting to like avoid this anxiety, avoid this suppressed heartbreak that's been gnawing at me since I was 16. That's like something that can't be all or nothing, nor can eating disorder recovery. And it's not linear. And like, I think the overwhelming feeling is like learning acceptance, learning surrender. And part of that surrender had to come when I finally was so stuck of there is no way for me to lose this weight because I'm so caught in this cycle of numb out, binge, guilt, restrict. And it wasn't going anywhere. And those emotions, those thoughts were causing me to hold on to fat more than any food ever would. I tell you, like, no Thanksgiving dinner, no cookie, no nothing is going to give you the body that you're fearing more than the fearing thoughts are. Like your toxic thoughts can shape your body and the way that you hold on to weight.
That is crazy, because yeah. It actually is true, because think about your cortisol levels. Because you're so stressed out, you're obsessing over something, yep. Your cortisol levels go up, which is like your, you know, adrenaline, because you're freaking out, you're stressed out.
Inflammation.
Your body literally holds on to fat more because of your mindset.
Yes.
Because literally of that, we're human beings and our ancestors needed that in order to survive in the
exactly.
wild. If they were high stress, they need to hold fat because that means they're in danger and they might not have food for days and days.
Yep.
It's a science. And it causes this.
Exactly. Yeah. So I am still in the process of learning how to let go of the fact that I want to be skinny. And you mentioned something that I used to do religiously was look back at my pictures from when I was on Vikings.
Oh, yep.
And then literally in the mirror be like, how much can I lose until I get mm-hmm. there? Like, it was pathetic. Like, I literally had a little girl body. And it's like, why is there programming in my head that tells me I have to have a lean stomach to the point where there's no roll and I have to have legs that have no bump and like things like that, where you realize it's literally all a story and it's literally all programming, and that's not what has to be, and that's something that your disorder can't understand. And honestly, the only way for me to escape it was therapy. And I think a lot of people who get to that point of just so deep in it, you have to get professional support, because I tried to like do everything I could. I was crying for help, but like in silence. Literally, my sisters are like dumbfounded by the fact that I have an eating disorder. None of us have really even talked about it, which is kind of crazy, like with how open I am on Instagram. But I think that it's weird for them. I think they're like, I didn't see this coming. Like, I never saw you like puke or restrict or whatever. My mom was also too like, I'm sad for you, because I had no idea. And I finally broke down like when I started guiding through the most recent cleanse groups that I was doing, where the products were organic and whatever, and it was focused on like alkalizing your gut and healing things like Crohn's disease and all these like whole pockets and whatever. I can't even remember what it's called. Everyone has it.
Like an IBS, shit like that.
So it was rooted in intention. It was rooted in like, we're caring for the soil health, we're caring for people's guts. You need to focus on like the quality of nutrients, micronutrients, organic and stuff. But that's where eating disorder can hide, in those areas, and you don't even see it happening. And the more work I've done, the more I've realized that being in that mindset or that area of health for me is toxic and keeping me in my disorder. Trying to guide people through a cleanse, being like, you can do it for 30 days, like don't eat this, this and this, where I'm over here like, I'm gonna allow myself to eat everything because otherwise I'm gonna have a binge, you know. So it's crazy like how eating disorders and ways that we're tricking our bodies and minds into thinking that we're being healthy, when really it can be disordered thoughts.
Yeah.
Underneath.
Yeah. It's scary, because it's like, you're like, restrict.
Yeah.
And you'll cleanse and you'll be clean. Yeah. And you'll be ready for a new beginning.
Yep.
Your restrictive eating is right there.
Yeah. Watch out for New Year's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, shit's coming.
It's and people. Yeah. And that's between you and I when we're in, and like teaching for you, but like really in fitness group classes, and you probably can relate to this. I just was saying, because we've talked about it. It's like when people go in, they're like, you know what, burn those calories off so you can go eat that big meal. And I would never imagine someone who was in recovery hearing that.
And I remember going to group fitness classes, someone saying something similar to that. And I literally want to stop the class. I'm like, what did you just say? Like, I'm not here to burn calories, okay? Like, I'm here to get a workout.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and it's subconscious. Just, they don't even realize they're saying it because it's just been passed through.
I was going to say it's passed
through. But even things like classes are called the Turkey Day Detox. Mm-hmm. And words like that are so damaging to eating disorder culture. And I didn't realize this until I actually did interviews. I was doing like a little type of podcast vibe, like Facebook Live thing for a while with two of my friends. And we were doing interviews. This is how I ended up coming out about my eating disorder, was because we were interviewing a lady who was a therapist for eating disorders. And I was in the middle of like my biggest binge ever, feeling so much shame, like probably feeling like the biggest girl in the world, like didn't even want to be on camera that day. And she's talking about eating disorders. And I'm like,
you wanted to ask her questions. Man.
And then one of the next talks that we had, I like bursted out crying, and I was like, this is what I'm going through. Like, I literally just went through this and finally learned to speak out. And that was when I set myself free. And something that I recently went through with a family member was, one of my family members doesn't understand how we can use social media as a tool to share our story. And
I
how
have that.
Some of us are storytellers.
Yes.
So, like, Matthew McConaughey in one of his podcasts or books or movies, I don't know, he says something about like, he's a storyteller, and like that's literally how he is, the man that he is he's literally just told his story.
Andrew's reading that book right now.
You look at anyone who, I love that for you.
Green lights, right? Green lights, that's what
you
it's called.
You look at anyone who is inspiring, Oprah or whoever, they're storytellers. Mm-hmm. You're captivated by them and you can relate to them. And there's people out there who don't understand that social media can be used for your personal life. And they think that it has to be like business professional. And that's not wrong. That's how some people function. And that's how they work, whatever. Like, not everyone's as deep in an open book as I am. It's I'm learning how to understand that people aren't as deep as me and how I can accept people for not wanting to be as like raw and authentic, you know? But I felt a lot of guilt, fear, and shame around sharing my story because I'm scared that my own family is going to be like, what the fuck is she talking about? And then when you start talking about things like family trauma and whatever, you got to be really careful because, I mean, you have to respect them too. But when it comes to sharing your own story, your family's usually the one that's like, huh? Yeah. And everyone else is benefiting from it out there. But they're the ones that aren't even reading your posts or listening to your videos and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I've had to really let go of expectation of receiving support from the people that I thought and lean into who is supporting me. And that's been a huge shift for me is like letting go of expectation, whether that's like hope for the future about a relationship, whether that's with my sisters or my ex having a healing or, you know, things like that where it's just learning to let go, learning to accept. And honestly, like, I wouldn't be where I am as far as being able to work through it. I would be back in my shit if I didn't have therapy every week right now. So I don't know how it got to this point. My mom's even dumbfounded too. She's like, I literally didn't see this coming. But I was, now that I look back, like, I was literally suffering all along without even knowing it.
All along and all alone. Okay, so with that, with how you're feeling, with that, the fact that you're still in it and you're still healing and you're going through the motions, but you've started, what would you say to someone right now who's struggling, who has maybe toxic relationships that they have not, don't have the balls to get out of right now, who have eating disorders or issues or disordered eating in general that they aren't even like speaking to verbally? Like, what is the biggest advice to get out of the hole or get to the hole to make a change, like, from you who's been through it?
Literally speak your truth. Be honest about it. Literally, the catalyst to your healing is when you bring shame into light of any sort, whether that's a shameful thought about judging yourself or a shameful feeling about the relationship you're in or something you're going through. Like, call me, call you guys. There's numbers out there for eating disorders, for toxic relationships. If you don't trust the people in your life, like, your voice needs to be heard. And the second that I felt safe to tell my mom and my close friends what I was going through and still have to talk to my close friends what I'm going through on a day-to-day, because this fine line between feeling grounded and going to binge is so fine, you guys. And what's interesting for me is it used to be, I want to describe what binging looks like for me, because I feel like people talk about it, but they're like, what actually happened?
Yes.
So when I got in the heat of it, I would eat to the point where my belly would hurt. And I craved things like bread, peanut butter, ice cream, treats. And I was like stoned off my ass every time this would happen. This never happened when I was sober.
Okay.
And then, like, when I would restrict, I would just wait to eat, or I would eat a little bit, or I would like try not to smoke so I could control my appetite. And then that night it would happen all over again. And I would do it all by myself. Literally, I would wait and like restrict and be fine and drink my tea, whatever, like even with my roommate, because she had really like controlled eating habits. My old roommate could like not eat all day basically and then eat dinner at 9 p.m. And I'm like, the hell? Like, should I be like that? Like, why can't I control my eating habits for that long? Not realizing that ain't healthy either. You know what I mean?
Right there, boom. Yep. Realizing what's healthy and what's not healthy. Just
wanting to have so much control and willpower that someone else has because you have absolutely none. No self-reliance, no trust. And so I would shut my room doors and like go out into the kitchen and literally just eat until I couldn't eat anymore. And then I would just like pass out and go to bed. And this happened for probably a couple years, like off and on a couple years. And I still have binges sometimes. They're not as heavy. They're not as big. I don't feel shame after them and I let myself eat the next day. Do I still body check? Which body checking is a huge symptom for an eating disorder. That's when you look in the mirror and you analyze and you pinch and you like stick out, push in, whatever. It's okay to do. We all do it. But if you notice you're going to do it and it's not going to benefit your thoughts, just don't. And don't feel shame if you do it But if you can stop it, like, just hold off for a second and, like, maybe put a shirt on and just be like, I'm not going to look right now. Maybe I'll look later.
I love that.
Or if you do it, then be like, and I love myself, you know? Even the other day, you guys, I was judging myself, like, scrunching because I had just had an episode. Oh, what I was going to say is what's flipped from eating in isolation is now I feel safe and grounded when I'm by myself. Like, I feel safe in my cocoon of my apartment all day, every day. If I could do that and be there and make my full-time job and just focus on self-care and meditation, I'd be cool. And sharing on Instagram, I'd be happy as hell.
Right? Hell yeah.
As long as I need to just, like, share my voice and pursue my gifts, hell yeah. So I feel grounded when I'm at home because I have food there and I can cook meals and whatever. But when I'm around friends and other energies, it really doesn't matter who the friend is. They could be a really beneficial friend to have. Like, I have some good ass people in my life. But when we're around other people and there's snacks around, then I get, like, triggered and I'm like, am I going to be able to notice how much I actually want to eat, or am I going to eat this whole plate of whatever? Or, like, you know, when you don't have control and you just don't have that, like, relationship of trust and, like, I got this. I'm hungry when I'm hungry. I'm full when I'm full. I'm just not there yet. And it's really scary to even, like, go and hang out with friends because I, like, I'll make myself eat before so I know I, like, won't be hungry for a little bit so that I feel safe and grounded to, like, snack here and there, instead of what really triggers it is when I go too long without food and then I'm like, oh, shit, yeah. I'm really hungry now. I'm going to eat a lot.
Yep. It's better to keep that, like, hunger cue at ease so you don't have to, like, because you can trust, like, okay, I just had food and I know I'm not starving going to my friend's house. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to eat that whole tray because I know that I just ate. I can snack on it and enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to enjoy what I want. Yeah. And if you're already full, you're less likely to, like, eat even more. You'll, like, have that. You'll send that thought to your brain of, like, I'm full, I'm safe, and I can enjoy this. It's not like I'm going to be like, I already ate, I'm good.
That's not
what I want to say either. Like, have some cookies, have some crackers. Mm-hmm. But I went to my friends the other night and we were going to make dinner, but we ended up eating, like, cheese and crackers and cookies. Yep. And I hadn't ate dinner. And, like, that is totally fine for some people who aren't in eating disorder recovery. Mm-hmm. They can have cheese and crackers and feel full and be like, you know what? I ate dinner. I'm going to go to bed and eat tomorrow. For me, my brain is like, I didn't have dinner. I literally ate, like, as many crackers, cookies, everything that I could, started drinking more wine. Like, it literally just triggered, like, I need more, and I felt unsafe. It didn't get out of hand to the point where I was like, oh my God, the regret I used to feel in the heat of it. But I noticed a little trigger there. And then it makes me want to just, like, retreat and never go out to a friend's house. But really, it's just, like, learning how to trust yourself and feeding your body, feeding your soul. Joy can come from so much more than food too. Like, I'll tell you, when I feel grounded and, like, content is when I'm making meals with my mom or spending time, like, mindfully eating without my phone. I'm hanging out with friends. Like, it's an interactive experience, and that's really important with food too.
Exactly.
As is, like, your career, your spirituality, like, all of these things. I'm studying integrative nutrition right now, and they talk about how the food that you eat is secondary to the primary food that is these, like, 12 areas. They have this little circle of life that's 12 areas of primary food, and it's career, relationships, spirituality, like, passions, whatever. It's all these different things. Home cooked food, and you, like, put a little dot on each line of the circle of, like, scale of 1 to 10, from 0 or 0 to 10 of, like, not satisfied, fully satisfied, where are you? And you can see where your circle of life is in balance.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then you'll realize it's not about the food at all. It's really about what is missing from love, connection, and joy, you know, in your life.
It's what a bigger picture. It's your well-rounded life that actually makes the eating disorder come and go, which seems like a simple concept, but when you see it like that, it's like, oh, of course, it makes sense.
Yes.
It makes sense.
I had, like,
where you're missing.
No perspective on that whatsoever. And that's why guiding the cleanses right now does not feel aligned for me, because everyone that I see struggling with a problem, then they're like, well, I have this gut issue. I have this eating habit. I'm like, what's going on underneath there? You know, even things like gut issues could be passed down from, like, what I was talking about with the chakras, emotions that associate with different areas, could be passed down through ancestral trauma. Like, this shit, you couldn't even think your way through to try and figure out what's wrong with you. Like, it could be programmed in your body, in your DNA. And the only way to free yourself from it is emotional release. And like I said, bringing that shame out, bringing that old story and those negative patterns, beliefs out into the light, because then the food habits will naturally come. And that's why therapy is so beneficial for me.
That's your savior right now. With all of this, like, what, where you are right now and where you're going and your yoga training, all that, like, what is your end goal? Maybe not, maybe for just 2021. Not, I'm not talking like your whole entire life, because let's be real, we can't predict anything at all. But like, where are you going?
Oh, it's been such an unfolding journey. I think I'm
so exciting to see even on beautiful. Your, sorry to interrupt you, but even on your Instagram, and like, I want to thank you for being so vulnerable even during this conversation.
Seriously.
Like, your Instagram and this conversation and who you are as a person is, it's all encompassing with how vulnerable you are, because I think it was so cool to see your journey even through your Instagram and how you're going into you're going all in. I know how you said you were like all or nothing, and I just I'm so excited for you, because I can just see, I see your future, and I'm like, we got to get her on before she's like freaking you know, all over the web. So I want to know where you go. Like, tell us all about it.
I mean, I don't want to like toot my own horn, but I feel like I'm, with all the energy happening collectively and in my own self and my journey, and even this past week, you guys, like, I got off Instagram because I cried every single day. I don't know what's been going on, but like, I got off birth control about a year ago, and like, ever since realigning with my own hormones and stuff, my emotions have been like on one. Because I'm starting to feel what I'm actually feeling, and it's starting to surface. Birth control could be another conversation.
Yeah.
Which thing. It's not wrong either. Yeah. I have a copper IUD now, but
I've thought about that one too.
And it's not for everyone. It's a really sticky topic, but that all has to do with my story too.
Yeah.
Oh my God. We could have like a series.
I know.
Honestly, it could be like 10 years long.
I was like,
we didn't even get to autoimmune. Like, literally.
No, dude, I was just saying, I messaged Sid during this conversation. I said, let's just keep it going. We're going to make this two episodes because
we have so much content.
Because you have so much good stuff to share. And I think our listeners are going to need all of it. So we appreciate it. So
seriously,
much.
To the core.
What are
to
we at core. For time?
Okay.
Oh, that's
God.
Perfect. Okay.
I can talk. Yeah, you guys.
I know. No, we love this. Okay. We'll let you finish this
but
question.
Yeah. So, I was really like feeling my feels this last week, like full on breakdown mode, like crying from the depths of my soul in the bathtub, like wanting my body to process what I've been trying to numb out. And it sounds like, oh, you're sobbing in your own shit, whatever. But like, I knew I didn't need to call anyone in that moment. I knew I just needed to process. And then I ended up like getting like physically sick a little bit, like my glands started swelling, and that's kind of my autoimmune. I swear I get sick from emotional stress. Like,
oh my gosh.
Because I was keeping shit inside.
So this girl does too.
I just had a conversation with my mom about financial stress that I swear to God got me sick. I'm not even kidding. I've been holding it in for a long time trying to have this conversation, because with my autoimmune and with my needing to like stay grounded and calm most of my day, I can't work like I used to. I have to like teach a yoga class a day. My life is so basic and simple right now, you guys. Like, I literally teach 4 classes a week, no Sculpt anymore, none of it's heated, and I work with health coaching clients, and I stay at home and I rest and I meditate and I stretch and I journal and I process and I hang out with friends. Like, that's where my life is at. But my hope is that with this recovery and being able to like, I know that this is just a phase and I don't need to feel this heavy and go through all this shit all the time. This is just a recovery process and part of my healing, and I'm just in the raw thick of it right now. But eventually I see myself like being a full-time health coach, taking on like 5, 10, 12 clients at a time, making a full-time living from my computer, like connecting with people just like we are, asking curious questions and literally holding space. Like, that's what people people need right now. They know what they need to do. All of the wisdom is within them. And that's what I told my mom on the phone with this financial conversation. I said, Mom, I don't need your solution. I just need your support. I'll figure it out. I just need to know that, like, you think that I've got this, and I needed to express this to you. And I felt literally 180 times better today, you guys. I woke up and I was like, this can't be real. I had a feeling it was going to be like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be like, holy shit, I feel better. It literally happened. Like, I've heard of diseases being cured because you speak your truth and like express what needs to be expressed. So my hope is that I keep expressing and start to build and flex that muscle of like being consistent with my eating habits, with my self-love practices, with my business, and trusting that I can give my attention and my time to myself instead of trying to people please and trying to self sabotage. And I just see my like health coaching career and my YouTube and like just ways of expression and support. It's so fun just seeing all that take off, and I'm in no rush, but
wow.
Yeah, it's that's just I want to help people and connect. That's what I love to do.
You're finally in your long-term direction.
I think so.
Yeah. Yep. It's just beautiful. It's just so beautiful.
I can't believe we have the privilege to talk to you like in the midst of your healing, even in the midst of like all of this. Like, this is going
to
be
how cool is it going to be able to watch this
come
back
and listen to this? Yeah, because we are talking about probably, I mean, there's so many people right now that are in, you know, a sort of recovery for whatever it is, relationships, disordered eating, etc. And I just can't believe that we're capturing this moment too. So,
because there's so many people where you are, have been where you are, or like just going through all the motions, and they haven't heard anybody talk about what it actually feels like to be in recovery or right out of recovery or wherever, like, and you are flowing through it and talking through all these sensitive things. And it needs to be heard.
I think that's why I have such an easy time, is because when I struggled, I was looking for someone who was authentic. Even like you said, the girls who are rubbing their flabby stomachs, it's like, how did you get there? That was my brain was like, the how. And I couldn't find anyone who was raw and vulnerable, and that's why I'm showing up as that person that I needed. And that's why I don't give a shit what my sisters or whoever thinks about me being too vulnerable, too open, me wanting attention. It's like, I'm literally doing this for my own healing, and I'm like, for 2021, I'm literally learning how to have a I don't give a fuck attitude.
Yes,
girl.
I'm normally like, is everyone else okay? Like, do you,
is this post is this too enough? Much?
Yeah. Is this enough or too much? And I want to be like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I love myself. You know, that is for sure what 21's.
That's a journey,
2021's
though.
Gonna
accepting that.
Exactly.
Bringing it going forward from there.
Mm-hmm. I definitely connected with you through Instagram because you were vulnerable.
I don't think
you would be sitting in this chair if you weren't that vulnerable. And that's why, like, your Instagram, like, keep it up. And like,
thank you.
If I struggle with this too, like creating a brand and a business on your Instagram, like making it not feel like woe is me, but you want to still put yourself out there and put the value into people that resonate with your message. So can you quick, before we wrap up, how do you find that balance between like accepting the fact that like Instagram is technically going to be your business and making sure you still appeal to the masses, etc.?
I was thinking about this on my way here, and I was like, is advertising like a way of people pleasing? Like,
I'm in advertising
because I was thinking, like, I struggle with that all the time. I was even looking at one of my best friends' profiles today. I hadn't been on Instagram for a week, and I was just scrolling through her aesthetic. It's Sid. Her aesthetic is fire.
Sid
Samborski.
Oh, yeah, I know her.
I'm
from
just obsessed with her. She's got a fire YouTube. She's consistent.
She's cute as hell.
She's a fire sign. Like, she just has this energy, and I'm the complete opposite. I'm like, I need to retreat for a week. This is too much stimulation.
So relatable.
And can't compare yourself to your aesthetic, to how vulnerable. I could look at Sid and be like, well, she's not sharing about her struggles all the time, but everyone's on a different page. I might not be in the thick of it in 6 months from now, and I could be like, you guys, I just got a new relationship and I'm making like six figs now, and you know, who knows? And I could be like, woohoo. I think just like shutting everyone else out and being like, my voice matters. I hear people all the time that this is the one thing that holds people back from doing what they know they're meant to do, which is literally, I think if everyone knew what they were meant to do, they would express their voice in some way, whether that was a podcast, on Instagram, on YouTube, creating some way, like sharing what they've been through, is because people think my voice doesn't matter. No one cares what I have to say, and I'm not interesting enough. And that's not true. Like, literally, I said to you guys today, I would watch any YouTube channel, no matter who it is. I, like, get inspired by and see, like, aesthetic ideas, no matter how, like, real and candid and raw it is, or how edited it and aesthetically pleasing it is. Like, every single thing is unique. And you just have to know that, like, whatever that little spirit drop that comes in, that's like a thought of like, ooh, I should create this thing. And then there's another thought that's like, nah, you shouldn't. And that struggle happens with me when I create Instagram reels, when I'm typing out a post all the time. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many ideas. But at the same time, I feel like I'm looking at everyone else's stuff trying to be like, well, what should I say today? So I've just had to start to turn off and stop scrolling. And like, I'll post in the mornings when I'm clear of like, ooh, I got a message, like I kind of want to speak about this today, and just go with that. And I've learned, like, sometimes I'll pull a picture from the past and be like, this is what I want to post today. Other times it's like me with no makeup on, like other times it's me flowing, you know, and it just has to be in the moment and authentic. And if planning on Instagram works for you, do it. But for me, I get stressed out when I plan captions and I feel inauthentic. So I don't know, just speak your truth. Use the people around you. If you don't feel ready to do it in public yet, maybe that's never going to be your thing, is like publicly sharing your platform. Don't feel shame about that either. It's not everyone's path. But if it is, just like, literally, I don't give a fuck. Do you, you know?
That's kind of, we should put that in the title.
I don't give a fuck. Do you?
2021. I love it.
Never thought that would be like my tagline. But literally, here I am.
Seriously. You're saying though, like, yours, for instance, like, you're slowing down enough to find the I don't give a fuck, it's literally me. Yes. And this is what I am. You have to take that time to slow down in order to even find out who the hell you are, because if you're people pleasing
everything,
yeah, and if you're people pleasing and run from this to this to this, which I was so bad at, and I did all the time, you're not even gonna find who you are, because you don't have enough time to be alone in your own thoughts.
No,
you get up, you go through the motions, you do this thing, you do this thing, and this thing, back to bed, but yeah, do the thing back to bed. You don't even know who you are.
Yeah. Yes.
You don't know what your passions are, you don't know what you're pushing for anymore. That's, I started to get lost because I was just doing what other people expected of me too. And it's like, you're taking this time now to sit down, relax, breathe, think thoughtfully, do things in the morning when you feel clear-minded and wanted to speak to other people. It's like, you slow down.
It's gonna
and
be
that's
worth
okay.
It.
Yes.
It's worth it, and it's okay,
but
to
let me
slow
tell you,
down.
It's easier said than done. I started meditating around 3 years ago. I started with Headspace. I started with 10 minutes a day using like guided meditation, and I used it because I couldn't get out of my fear thoughts about my breakup. I couldn't let it go. Like, you guys, I was so unwell that like I started watching videos or stuff started coming my way where they were like, it was like, meditation's the key. And I was like, I gotta figure this out. Mm-hmm. So I still sit, and sometimes I avoid it for weeks, but I'll still sit most days and I watch my thoughts the whole time. I don't get a lick of silence. And that's literally what meditation is. But I think what COVID taught all of us, whether you lost your job and you got unemployment, or you had to go remote, whatever, all this time alone is teaching us that you can't find identity and purpose in anything but literally who you are.
Yes.
And that's, I think, why I'm like at the opposite of what everyone else is doing. It's like, go, go, go. And even like my mom, when she has a free moment, she's like, I don't know what to do with myself, I'm anxious. And I'm like, I get anxious when I have to do shit now, because I've found that way to slow down. And now I'm like in that recovery. So I think I'll come back to a balance where you can slow down, but you can still stay consistent and be like that grinder. Yep. To really show up and do the work that you're meant to do on this planet. So wow.
Damn,
for sure. You will find that balance.
You will. Mm-hmm. You're coming to it. We can hear, hear it in your voice.
The solstice is bringing it on.
Bringing it on. 2021. Let's do this.
No, actually they said like this solstice is like more New Year vibes than even 2021 is. So
really,
happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So make your resolution now, because
do
it's
it.
New moon.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's
okay, not a new moon.
I don't know where the moon is coming from.
It's like a sliver moon.
I'm going to be honest. I don't get this moon stuff, but she goes, I like
moons.
You
don't have to. You'll get it someday.
Well, the moon. Okay. I'm like, nope, there's no new moon. Nope. Every time you say it, I'm like,
there
no.
There's a moon in the sky right now. Let's say that.
There's a new moon every night. Oh, wait, never mind. It's the same moon. But
yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, what?
The moon's in a new like phase percentage.
There's a new phase every night. Right?
God damn it.
Oh, God,
this has been like so... like Express. Enlightening and beautiful that you shared all of this with everyone and us. Like it means the world to us. I'm
Thank
not kidding.
You. I honestly felt like I was in a little bit of a therapy session. Like that helped me a lot too. So.
Wow. I'm glad. Yeah. Sometimes, like you said, when you talk about it a lot, you're mm-hmm. like, oh my God, did I say too much?
No.
Whatever.
But no.
You just got to be like, no.
You know what I think you are?
Hope you benefited from it.
I think you're a healer.
Ah.
I think you're a healer. Yeah, there are people that are healers, and I think you're one of them. And I think I know that. I'm not saying I think it. I know it. So keep speaking your truth and finding that person that you are, because it's beautiful.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you
we
for
love
sharing.
You.
We love you.
Love you more. This was so fun.
You can be back. We can talk
Hell
about
yeah.
maybe like. What did we want to dive deep
and
we didn't?
Autoimmune and healing your body and finding a balance of like what is healthy eating, what is you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be cool to have you back, even about autoimmune, because I know Sid's going through some health stuff right now too.
Oh yeah,
she would love to talk to you about that.
I'm not even going to disclose what that is, you little listeners. I'll wait for the next episode. Make
y'all
you listen.
Don't even need to know.
Thank you though. Thank you for being here and thank you for sharing.
You.
We're so happy to have had you.
I'm so happy to be here.
You guys, plug yourself real quick. Plug your Instagram. Oh, plug everything you want to plug.
Vanessa Persephone, VanessaPersephone.com. Honestly, that's kind of what I am all across the web. Failure is my last name, but Persephone is my middle name.
We can put it in the description for this podcast as well, so they can just click on it without having to spell your last name.
We'll make it easy.
But if you want to connect, like I have opportunities for like one-on-one health coaching. I have opportunities for yoga classes that you can take. I'm very open about my yoga on Instagram. One thing that I'm planning to do in 2021 is be way more like advertising myself about what I have to offer and be like,
love
this
that.
Is my prices and this is what I'm doing. You know, that shit's hard.
Beautiful.
But that's my plan. So
but it's beautiful.
You can find me on the gram and
Yay.
Yeah, that's the easiest way. Oh, and YouTube now.
Yes.
Vanessa Persephone all the way. Yeah.
Boom. You guys, if you want to reach us, Straight Candid Podcast, that's our Instagram. Also, straightcandidpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to email us, send us a little something, something. We want to hear from you, but you got this
Merry
has been
Christmas.
Beautiful. Merry Christmas
Merry
for you listeners.
Merry Chrysler.
Merry Christmas.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Boom!
Oh!
Oh!
Yeah, baby!
I'm sweating.
Hey. Thank you.